Welcome to the DLF Dynasty Podcast with your hosts, Dan Myler, Ryan McDowell, and Matt Price.
Yeah, we are the DLF Dynasty Podcast. I am Dan, that's Matt, and over there is Ryan. We are coming at you with episode 611 of the show. Lots to get to this week, including covering the second wave of free agency. That'll be a lot of fun. In fact, I thought the second wave was almost as exciting as the first wave, honestly. If the first wave is just day one, because that's when me and Matt recorded last week. We also got three more 2024 rookies to talk about in the rookie report. But first, let's welcome Ryan back. Ryan, it's good to have you, bud.
Yeah, good to be back. Missed talking with you guys last week. Missed talking free agency. Obviously, one of the biggest days of the year, biggest shows of the year, and I botched it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We'll let it slide this time, but you better bring it double this week because we got just as many transactions to talk about. Matt, it was a thick episode last week. We had a lot to talk about, and it feels like we have just as much this week.
Yeah, maybe even more. I mean, you guys laughed at me for putting some of these players on the list, but look, we play in deep dynasty leagues, deep super flex leagues. We're rostering 40 quarterbacks easily in those leagues. So let's get to it. There's one I'm really upset about for the startup.
Yeah, for those of you that aren't looking at the document that we are looking at, it's like names like Jacoby Brissett, which we won't be talking about here in a bit.
The startup.
We might as well start under center because there were a handful of transactions made, some that included starting quarterbacks. And, you know, between
former starting quarterbacks
or former starting quarterbacks. That's Justin Fields. He's a backup now, shipped to Pittsburgh for a sixth round draft pick, could become a fourth rounder if he plays a bunch of snaps, which could happen. Ryan, I was talking to you before we hit record tonight, and you were talking about his ADP and how that was just collected right here in the last couple weeks, and how in super flex leagues that's gonna just plummet, right? We've seen him as a question mark. Maybe he's a starter. Maybe he's a starter in Chicago. Maybe he finds a job somewhere else. Now it seems cut and dry. It's black and white. He is a backup in Pittsburgh behind Russell Wilson, which maybe gives the Fields fanboys a window of opportunity because Russ has struggled so much recently. But that ADP is about to plummet.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Monday mock article over on the DLF site this week was about our new Superflex ADP. And yeah, I mean, we start those mock drafts at the beginning of each month. So, this happens occasionally that some news will overlap. And sometimes that ADP feels outdated pretty quickly with specific players. And this is definitely one of those cases, because if you go look at DLF Superflex ADP right now, Justin Fields shows up at 28 overall as a third round pick in Superflex Dynasty leagues, and obviously he's going to lose value, already has lost value, and I think will continue to do so. It's just a matter of when you're starting your new league here in the next couple weeks, or when we're doing those mock drafts at the beginning of April next month, how far does Justin fall? He's not going to be a third rounder. He's not going to be a fourth or a fifth rounder either. I think we could be talking about him as an eighth, ninth, tenth rounder in super flex startup drafts. And I mean, I'll go ahead and say if that is the price, then I'm a buyer at that point.
Absolutely. Like some of the offers that I've seen come through, I mean, I told you guys before we started recording, I looked at the trade finder. There's been zero trades in the trade finder since Justin Fields was moved to Pittsburgh. And man, I got offered a third round pick this year and like a 2025 second. That was probably the best offer I received. I see another offer for a couple of thirds. Like this is This is insane to me. Like, even if you want to say a second round pick, like a late second this year and an early third next year, or even a late second this year and a third this year, like, what players are you getting in that range where you feel good about moving an asset like Justin Fields? I know he's a backup right now, but Russ got signed for the minimum on a 1-year deal. There is, it's not, no, Pittsburgh has said that there is no quarterback competition here. We'll see. That all that stuff has a way of shaking stuff out. I am not moving Justin Fields for that kind of asset. We know that any game he plays, he's a threat to score 20 fantasy points. So I'm not selling for anywhere near the prices going right now. If I have to hold for a year, 2 years, I don't care. I'm going down with the ship. If I can buy it for a mid-second round pick this year, I will pay that. I'm happy to do that. I am not worried about Justin Fields being a starter again at some point in this league.
So I was talking Superflex ADP. Let's shift over to Superflex rookie ADP. Our current data there has Bo Nix as the 16th overall player. So you're talking about early portion of round two. Do you want Bo Nix or do you want Justin Fields?
I want Justin Fields.
Hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Like, are your hope? What do you, I mean, what do you like out of the move that you're the picks that you're going to get for Fields? You're going to get your best hope is Bo Nix at the quarterback position and like the skill position players in that range. Like, I mean, maybe you want a running back. I don't know about those third tier wide receivers, like for a quarterback in a super flex league with the upside that we know he has. That just, I mean, to me, that feels really bad. I mean, I'm sure those deals are going to get made, but it's not going to be from my teams. I'll hold as my quarterback 3 or 4 in a super flex league and just wait. Like, I think he's going to be a starter again at some point. I really do.
I do too. And in general, I'm good with buying low. You know, if you can get him at the prices that you're talking about, I like that idea, and I do think it's telling that there haven't been any trades. There's certainly a disconnect between buyers and sellers.
Yeah.
At this point, I think there's really a disconnect though between how we as dynasty players valued this guy and how the NFL did. And this is one of the times of year, one of the few times of year where teams really tell us how they feel about players, and they do that with these contracts that they're handing out. I mean, we're going to talk about a guy like Austin Eckler later, I think. And, you know, the fact that he got such a low contract and reportedly didn't have many suitors, that changed how we feel about him and how we value him. And while I am on board with buying low on Fields, because, you know, just look at how many quarterbacks we saw start games last year. This tells us that the sixth rounder, the limited number of teams interested, it should tell us how teams around the league and how the league in general values him.
Go ahead, Dan.
It's very clear how the league sees him right now, because there were other moves that were made over the last, since the league kicked off, right? Since we heard the new year started. And there was opportunities across the league. The Falcons clearly weren't interested. They weren't willing to give up a sixth round pick to make Justin Fields their starting quarterback. They'd much rather give Kirk Cousins that $100 million guaranteed to be their guy for a couple of seasons. So I think what you said there, Ryan, that the league has spoken is the most glaring red flag when it comes to Fields and what we as dynasty managers should think of him moving forward. I'm okay with what you guys are saying. Go ahead and buy if you want to sit on him for 2 or 3 years, because that's likely what it's going to take. I'm confident he's going to start games in 2024 for the Steelers. I'm not confident it'll go well.
I really don't. To me, like, what is the difference between, I know what you guys are going to say, but I'm going to pose it anyway. To me, the only difference between a guy like Justin Fields, a player like Jalen Hurts, hell, even go back to Josh Allen's rookie season. Like, these are players that had good coaching and were able to develop. what has Justin Fields been offered from a coaching standpoint, from an offensive line standpoint? Yes, I know they added DJ Moore last year to give him a weapon, but he was hurt throughout that season. It was clear the team still didn't really have confidence in him. So I think in a structure organization like Pittsburgh, where he can get some development in coaching, although we can talk about Arthur Smith too. So, I mean, that's a whole thing, whole nother part of this, the ward on this. But I really think he's just as talented as those other guys from a physical standpoint. And it's the development and coaching that has really let Justin Fields down to this point.
I agree. There's been a lack of skill around him, both in the coaching staff and the skill players surrounding him in Chicago. And it's really a shame that now Chicago has loaded up that roster with so much talent and Fields moves on. So we'll never know the answer to that question. What could he have been if he would have had that support throughout his career? However, he's going into a relatively good situation in Pittsburgh with good pass catchers surrounding him for sure. And an offensive line that, while it hasn't been elite like it maybe was a few years ago, it's, I would say, average to above average. And that's not something we could say about Chicago. The thing is, he has to overcome a veteran quarterback who is in a similar situation, honestly, a player that hasn't played well, but here recently. But there have been so many times throughout Russ's career where we thought this guy is a top five quarterback in Dynasty. And now he has those weapons. He has the first opportunity. He has the coaching staff to support him. There's nothing that says that Russ doesn't take that step forward. He holds on to that job. He gets a new contract. And we continue to see Justin Fields as a backup. Ryan, I told you before we hit record that I have a comp to what's going on right here. This is way closer to me to what happened with Jameis Winston a few years ago when he signed in New Orleans. And a lot of dynasty managers were saying, oh, I'm going to buy low because he's going to get his chance and he'll be the guy at some point. And he couldn't beat out Sam Darnold, the Red Rifle. What the heck's his name?
Andy Dalton.
That's how much he matters in Dynasty. He couldn't beat him out. I do not think Justin Fields will ever beat out Russell Wilson. He will play because Russell Wilson gets hurt or something like that. I just don't think he's good enough. It's fine to invest a second round pick if you want to. I won't be that guy. I would sell him for a couple of seconds easily. I would sell him for a second and a third, I think, at this point. The league has spoken, and I'm going to listen.
Well, for a long time, you know, we talked about Fields multiple times throughout the season. And Dan, you were pretty outspoken on him, just simply how bad of a quarterback he was. And I don't think anybody, Matt or myself especially, disagreed with that. I think our point was always there's a shortage of quarterbacks around the league. And, you know, while he's struggling specifically as a passer, he still offers something and has you know, racked up fantasy points, at least there for a stretch a couple of years ago. So I think we kind of got caught seeing more upside than NFL teams did. And I mean, the contract, the timing of the, you know, the fifth year extension, that certainly plays in, and that probably took a few teeth out of it, that they knew they weren't just giving a sixth. You're giving a sixth and potentially $25 million next year. That obviously was enough to push some teams away, understandably so. But I mean, this just tells us shortage of quarterbacks. Like, sometimes that stuff just doesn't matter if you're just not successful enough, honestly.
But by the way, from an NFL perspective, real quick, like the Steelers look brilliant here, I think. Like, to acquire two potentially starting quarterbacks for a sixth round pick and $1 million or whatever they're paying Russ. I mean, obviously they might have to pay Fields too, but like, to acquire two quarterbacks that have been previously thought of as highly as these two, I think is a brilliant move for a team that was looking for a quarterback.
Yeah,
I was thinking the same thing. And we so rarely see teams do this, especially during this free agency period, during the, you know, the draft part of the season or part of the year. But I think back to when the Seahawks did this, and it involved Russell Wilson as well. They doled out big money for Matt Flynn, but they had that backup plan, and using what was it, a day two pick on Russell Wilson, or early day three
rounder,
pick?
I think it was a third rounder.
Yeah, third rounder. So they kind of get that insurance policy. So many teams have the attitude that
we got one and we're done.
We made the right move. This is going to work out. And while bringing in Fields may be a slight knock against Russell Wilson, I think for the Steelers, it's a very smart move.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's a smart move. In fact, I think both of them are smart moves. Bringing in Russ was a smart move because he's almost free. They're not spending anything on the quarterback position. That's shown in their other moves on that roster. They're improving that team. And if they can get any production out of quarterback, that'll help all of these other weapons around and certainly help the Steelers. I'm a believer that they're going to compete for another winning record without that quarterback play. I mentioned that I think it's closer to Jameis Winston. There's Fields believers out there that say, hey, wait, about a guy like Steve Young. What about that? He could be the guy that gets the change of scenery, plays behind somebody for a year or two, and then blossoms. And that could happen. I just think it's so unlikely. And not that it has to be either Jameis or Steve Young. It's probably going to be somewhere in between. But the likelihood that he's a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback or even a quarterback one for Dynasty for a long stretch, enough of a stretch for it to pay off. Not moving on from him, I think it's more unlikely than likely at this point. We'll see how that plays out.
What's your sell line, Dan? Like, where are you getting? Are you taking any second round pick in this year's draft for Fields?
I'm not taking the last pick in the second round or anything like that. But if I got a packet, if I got like the 19th pick and a third or something like that, I'd probably move on from him at this point. And, you know, not that I have, you know, you're talking to the wrong guy because I don't have any Fields out there. So I'm not going to have the gun to my head on this deal. I'm not going to get any off league mates that hear me say this, but that's where I'm
at. Steelers,
my point,
the Steelers,
more than that, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. The Steelers, we're talking about how smart the Steelers are. The Steelers got more for Kenny Pickett than they gave up for Justin Fields.
Right. That was going to be my next point. I really do think, like, if somebody offered him to me if I was a league champ and somebody offered him to me for the 24th pick in the draft, I would not accept the trade.
Interesting.
That's where I'm at. Let's get to the rest of the moves. But before we do that, let's hear from our sponsor from this week.
It's tough to keep your New Year's resolutions, whether we're talking about Dynasty, you know, we've all got so many leagues already. Are we really going to join another startup? Can we have the amount of time to take on another league? I'm going to make more trades and be more active this season. You know, we got a lot of things going on as a Dynasty manager. And Factor is here to help you with some of your New Year's resolutions. Factor's ready-to-eat meal delivery takes the stress out of meal planning and sets you up for success in the new year. Skip the grocery stores, prep work, and cooking fatigue. Instead, get chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door with over 35 meals to choose from per week, including options like keto, calorie smart, vegan plus, veggie, and more, plus over 55 weekly add-ons. You'll have a ton of nutritious and flavorful options to start your resolutions. So how do you get started over at Factor? You go to factormeals.com/mostaccurate50 and use code mostaccurate50 to get 50% off. That's code mostaccurate50 at factormeals.com/mostaccurate50 to get 50% off today.
Dynasty Drumbeats.
Yeah, let's get to these drum beats, and it starts once again under center. Lots of moves in the past week or so, Matt, and you know we commented on what happened on day one of free agency, but there has been a handful of ancillary moves, including Kenny Pickett, who's traded to the Eagles with a fourth round draft pick for a third and two 2025 seventh round picks. Other moves include Sam Darnold. He gets that 1-year deal with the Vikings, presumably to be the veteran in tow until they draft their rookie. Handful of other moves as well. Of all these quarterback moves as a Superflex dynasty manager, Matt, what jumps off the page to you?
I think there's a couple interesting ones here. I mean, the Darnold one sticks out. Like, are the Vikings really going to take McCarthy at 11? That seems to be the new rumor, and Darnold's the backup there. Are they going to move up and to get one of the higher price guys? I don't know. But if he does end up the starter, that's interesting. Obviously, throwing to Justin Jefferson and all those weapons there in Minnesota. And then I know he's just a backup and he's just hanging around, and the Patriots are going to draft somebody to take over the reins there. But Jacoby Brissett has a way of hanging on and putting up starts for us in fantasy. And every single time it's generally productive. We go back to a couple of years where he started all those games with the Browns before Watson came back from his suspension. So I'm intrigued by those two. And in super flex leagues, I'd be happy to toss out, I don't know, like a third round pick, or try to get one of them as a throw in a deal.
I don't know if you're getting Darnold for a third at this point. It really does feel like he's got enough momentum because they haven't added that rookie quarterback yet, that it may cost a couple of thirds to get a guy like that, or a high third at least. Ryan, how about you? You looking at that Darnold addition by the Vikings as a Band-Aid, something that could be your third quarterback in a super flex league, or anything better than that?
It's tough to have confidence in Sam Darnold. It seems like the Vikings have at least a little bit of confidence, mm-hmm. paying him, I believe $10 million a year, or $10 million for the 1 year. And I know there's a lot of McCarthy smoke to Minnesota, and kind of seems like that's kind of the move they're trying to make, acquire the extra first round pick. Honestly, like, none of these really excite me. If you tell me I can have any of them, we'll go back to that 212 that you were talking about, Dan. I don't think I'm paying a late second for any of these guys. I agree with you. I don't know. That is kind of an interesting.
You're not going to send any of these guys for the you're not going to buy any of these guys for the 212 if you can get Fields for that price, is what I'm saying.
Well, do you want Fields or Darnold?
I want Fields.
Dan wants Darnold.
I'd rather have Darnold at this point. At least I'm sure I'm going to get some starts. It's pretty messy. What about the Pickett shares, Ryan? There are dynasty managers out there in Superflex that invested a first round pick to get Kenny Pickett. I've been a believer in the past. I still think that he has the tools to be a better quarterback than what he's shown. But at this point, he is a true backup and unlikely to see the field without a major injury. It seems like we're holding him for multiple years. He's worthless on the trade market. What if you already have him on your roster, though?
He's a roster clogger, right? You don't feel like you can drop him. Obviously you're not going to drop him in a super flex league. We value really all of those QB2s in those D leagues. But he certainly has no trade value. I was lucky, I guess you could say lucky, to unload my only Kenny Pickett share late last season, and ironically traded him for Russell Wilson, and feel great about that.
The only other quarterback that changed teams that might be noteworthy might be Joe Flacco. He gets a backup deal with the Colts. And considering how many injuries Richardson had in just a couple of games last year, there's a good chance Flacco gets starts. So your Flacco shares, they're worth holding on to as your QB4 in Superflex.
Yep.
How about the running back position? Some big names, some veteran names changed teams, including Joe Mixon, Austin Eckler, who you mentioned earlier, Ryan, and Derrick Henry signs that 2-year deal with the Ravens. That's a pretty exciting landing spot. Then Aaron Jones changes teams in the NFC North, going over to Minnesota with a 1-year deal. The last one worth mentioning here, maybe Zach Moss, who takes Joe Mixon's roster spot in Cincinnati. Of all these moves here, if you had to pinpoint one, Matt, which is the one that really gets your motor running in Dynasty?
Oh, it's easily Derrick Henry to the Ravens. This is the move that I wanted to happen more than anything else in free agency. It just seems like such a perfect fit with that rugged running style from Derrick Henry to a team that wants to run the ball. Just the way that Lamar and Derrick Henry are going to be able to play off of each other in that running game. I am so excited for this signing. It's like we finally got a premier running back for the Ravens. We thought we might have had it with Dobbins. You know, pour one out for him. Still have some love for J.K. Dobbins. Hope he lands somewhere on his feet. But, man, this is going to be really fun with Henry and Baltimore.
Yeah, I can't imagine trying to game plan against that offense and that zone read with Henry coming downhill and Lamar going out the backside. It's going to be impossible. It's a dream scenario. The chances of Henry catching more than 12 passes next season are nothing. His touchdown upside might also be limited because of Lamar. So there are limitations there. Ryan, when you look at Henry landing there, was this enough to infuse – dynasty managers' faith in him for at least a year or two to just keep him on the roster and keep clicking the box next to his name every single week all year long?
Yeah, I think so. You know, a little bit of a down year, certainly by his standards, which were super high heading into 2023. So we had seen Henry slip quite a bit, both in ADP and in trade value. And I think this landing spot is enough to push him up above certainly some of the other veterans, the names we've already mentioned. I mean, we've talked about playing the running back position from Dynasty really in one-year windows outside of your young elite players. And again, if you're telling me I have any of these players that have changed teams, I want Derrick Henry. So, we should rank him and value him above Austin Eckler, above Aaron Jones, above Mixon, which might not have been the case a couple months ago.
Ryan used to say
season for Derrick Henry, like you mentioned, there is 1,100 yards, 12 touchdowns, 28 catches. I mean, still a RB1
in a bad offense.
Ryan used to say, no matter what, Derrick Henry always feels he's worth a late first. I don't know if he's worth a late first now, but I mean, I don't know if anyone's going to sell him to you might for a second, right? Right, so it might be a late first again.
If you're trying
he
to
is
go
worth
back,
a late first.
If yeah, I really do think if you won your league and you're trying to get that progressive pot and want to go back to back, I'm sending the 12th pick for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had a tough off-season dilemma this off-season in one of my leagues where I had to franchise tag. It's a contract league, so there's other stuff involved. Either Kamara or Derrick Henry, and that decision was made for me the other day when Henry signed with the Ravens. So
I got
outside of the Henry signing, which is a big one, we're all excited about that. Mixon's a big name that transferred rosters, and he's going to play on a team, guys, where there are a lot of other playmakers right now. Mixon's not going to be that, it really feels like he's going to be a hired gun to play that running back role, and certainly is an upgrade over what they had a year ago. Joe Mixon might have infused a little bit more life, Ryan, into his dynasty value, or at least held his value going from Cincinnati with all those weapons now to Houston with the young quarterback, where he's going to get a lot of touches.
Yeah. I think you could argue he's in a similar spot as far as the competition. Of course, we're not quite ready to call Tank Dell and Nico Collins Chase and Higgins, certainly two very talented players that are going to see a ton of work. Great young quarterback there in Houston with Stroud, and obviously Mixon had that with Burrow. So really feels like a similar spot. At this point, I trust the Houston offensive coordinator and the coaching staff more than I did in Cincinnati. So I think this is an upgrade for Mixon short term. I love that they gave him a new deal. I don't necessarily love it from a, I don't necessarily think that was a smart move by them, but just showing that confidence in Mixon helps me feel a little more confident in his dynasty value.
Yeah. We're looking at him as a 1 to 2 year option, even in Houston in yep. that offense, but
all
certainly more valuable now, a lot like Henry, more valuable now than he was pre-trade, or in Henry's case, pre-signing. How about Aaron Jones, Matt? He moves from that Packers offense, which was, I would say the arrow was pointing up in that offense, to a Vikings offense. Well, we mentioned it. Sam Darnold is the guy most likely under center in week one. How do we feel about our Aaron Jones shares as he's about to turn 30 years old?
I don't want to talk about Aaron Jones. It's just sad. I don't care. I wanted him to retire a Packer. I mean, he's going to be good. He's going to be good with the Vikings. He's going to be good with whatever team he is. Health is going to be a question for him. Can he hold up under a lead back kind of workload, which, you know, he's clearly the most talented back on this team as well. Ty Chandler made a little bit of noise. Is Dwayne McBride still hanging around? Is he going to be the heavy back this year? I don't know. To me, though, Dan, I think the Zach Moss signing is a little bit more interesting with the Bengals, yeah, more for what it means for Chase Brown. Is Chase Brown going to see a big role this year?
Well, we all hoped when we saw the news that Mixon was moving on that maybe that was the case. But now Moss certainly steps into that between the tackles role, I would say, and maybe Chase Brown becomes that perimeter threat and the guy that they're trying to get that screen pass that we've seen Joe Mixon catch so many times in the past. It feels like a mix and match situation to me, a 1-1A type of situation. Whoever's a hot hand, maybe the guy that could create start sit problems, but I don't mind having Zach Moss on my roster. And I'm not opposed to having Chase Brown actually either. That really, Zach Moss doesn't scare me off of anybody.
Me either.
The last running back to talk about here is Eckler. Ryan, we talked about Mixon. We talked about Henry maybe getting a jolt to their late career dynasty value. Doesn't feel the same way with that Eckler contract. Just 11.4 million over 2 years. And from what I've read, it looks like a 1 year deal, really.
Yeah, you know, it feels like for years now, the Chargers have tried to find that complement for Austin Eckler so he wouldn't quite have that workload. And Brian Robinson is just the type of guy they were looking for. I mean, Eckler's not going to see nearly the amount of touches or the type of touches he was seeing with the Chargers. And you know, you throw in the contract piece of this on top of it. Not to mention, I'm just not quite sure I'm trusting this Washington coaching staff in general. We still don't know exactly what the quarterback position is going to look like. This is a big stay away. I think I'd rather have Zach Moss than Austin Eckler at this point.
Ooh, yeah, the days of getting a second-round pick for Eckler are long gone. You can't even get that at this point. How about we transfer to the perimeter, talk about some wide receivers. Four relatively big names changed teams, including Keenan Allen, traded to the Bears for just a fourth-round pick. That's pretty exciting for a lot of those of us that might have the number one pick in a Superflex draft. Also, Calvin Ridley gets $92 million, $50 million guaranteed from the Titans. Hollywood Brown gets the one-year deal in Kansas City. And then Deontay Johnson traded to the Panthers with a seventh-round draft pick for cornerback Dante Jackson and a sixth-round pick. So Deontay Johnson doesn't bring much on the trade market. Neither does Keenan Allen. But these four names are really names that we all click on every single week, it seems like, in our Dynasty starting lineups, Matt. Which one of these four moves the needle for you?
I mean, the most exciting one, I think, is clearly Marquise Brown. But I kind of want to talk about Deontay Johnson and more and what the Panthers have done to support Bryce Young. With that trade, you know, you can say what you want about Deontay Johnson, but we know he can get open, and that's something that everybody except for Adam Thielen really had a trouble with for the Panthers last season. But not fantasy-related necessarily. They also spent $150 million on two premier guards to help protect their young quarterback. So I'm excited about this move more for what it does for Bryce Young in year two.
Blah. I mean, what did Deontay Johnson do to, you know, the football gods to go from Kenny Pickett to Bryce Young? It was not good. Yeah, he gets open 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Good job.
Yeah, I could see another one. You know, a couple of years ago, 86 catches for 882 yards and no touchdowns. That's the kind of line we're going to get out of Deontay Johnson again this year, and that's brutal. How about you, Ryan? Which one jumps off the page for you?
I mean, I'm with Matt's first thought. It's easy to fall into that Hollywood Brown trap, but here I am. We get excited about Sky Moore and all these other jokers in Kansas City. Like, Hollywood Brown, a real talent.
He's an actual receiver.
he's got some obvious flaws, but he is a real weapon. And obviously, I mean, Patrick Mahomes has not had this kind of guy since Tyreek a couple of years ago. Hollywood's not in the Tyreek neighborhood, but he obviously has some of those same types of skills. So I can't wait to see this duo.
Yeah, and then the Kelvin Ridley deal, it was shocking. The guaranteed money that he got in Tennessee, he's
always had that.
Yeah. He's always been better as a number two receiver, though. So maybe with Nuke on the other side, he can use those uncovering skills to create space and have one of those seasons like he did late in his Atlanta career. I can see some short-term upside. There's no quarterback under center. I just don't know what's going to happen for Ridley. That really hurt his dynasty value for sure.
It's such a weird signing. Like, what are the Titans doing? Like, they're not in a competing mode and they're going to give $100 million basically to 30-year-old receiver. I mean,
well, he does get the quarterback upgrade. He gets a quarterback upgrade from Lawrence, though. So shut up. That's good.
Of course, you're joking about Will Levis, but I think that's what they're doing, Matt. They're trying to
make him a thing.
Hold up on talent for their young quarterback and see what they have.
They're masking Levis.
I don't know if they're masking. I think they.
Then why get rid of?
There's a chance that Will Levis is really good. I really do think the Tennessee brass thinks that, and whether they're right or wrong, at least they're doing something to try to figure it out. Unlike other teams,
but what is the one? What's the one thing that Levis does well, though? I mean, what's the one thing he really does well?
He can the field.
Yeah, is Calvin Ridley going to help that?
He's not that guy. No, and Nuke really
is not that guy. They should have signed Hollywood. Why didn't they sign Hollywood?
Yeah,
especially if they were given $92 million and 50 guaranteed over 4 years. Any other moves worth mentioning? I know the Rondale move or the Rondale Moore trade, that was intriguing. He lands with the Falcons, but a couple days earlier, Darnell Mooney got $26 million guaranteed from the Falcons. So Atlanta's trying to put ancillary receivers in place. Rondale Moore could fill that slot role for them. Any dynasty upgrade for him?
I don't know if it's an upgrade, but like a defined role would be good. You know, like it seems like he might have that now there, which I don't think he really ever had in Arizona. The Curtis Samuel move is really interesting. The Buffalo has their slot receiver. They gave now. Him a lot of money. Khalil Shakir, I had a lot of hope for, but I think that dream might be dead now.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, Buffalo already had their slot. I mean, Shakir never plays outside. So That's kind of odd.
I think he could, though. I think he can.
Ooh, I don't.
I don't think he can. I don't think he can, actually. The Falcons, you know, sometimes teams just give bad contracts. But, I mean, you go back a couple years ago and we're laughing at Jag for paying too much for Zay Jones and Christian Kirk. And I mean, this is kind of the opposite of the Austin Ekeler thing. Maybe teams view Darnell Mooney a little bit better than dynasty managers do. And he was just like Fields, he was stuck in that terrible offense, but to get $39 million and a huge That's chunk a lot. Of it guaranteed, we've got to pay attention to that. And I think that means Rondale Moore is right back to where he was in Arizona, stuck behind, similar types of wide receivers.
Yeah. And a tight end that likes to play in the slot as well. So where does Moore fit in? Your take on Mooney probably is worth taking note of for sure. Let's get to the rookie report here after this. This week's episode of the podcast is brought to you by the guys over at DraftKings and that newest product that I've been talking about the last few weeks. It's called Pick Six. It's a pick-up style platform where you choose players to have more or less of a certain stat, things like passing yards, rushing yards, etc. But the twist that DK has made is that it's a peer-to-peer platform. So if you're contrarian and you outsmart your opponents, the winnings can be massive. It's also available in 21 states, including some that don't even have sports betting. I live in one of those states that don't allow sports betting, but Pick 6 is available, and I can tell you I already love it, and I think you will too. So sign up using our link in the show notes, and you're going to get a brand new offer as the weather gets warmer and those Pick 6 offers start heating up with it. New customers can get an instant 100% deposit match up to $100 in Pick 6 credits. So check it out, check out those show notes, and sign up today.
It's time for the Rookie Report.
Yeah, we got some fun ones to talk about this week, and we start with a big-named wide receiver. Fifth overall in consensus rankings in the wide receiver four, it's Brian Thomas from LSU. Everything points to Thomas being a high draft pick in the NFL draft. I think the expectation, especially after his combine performance, which included a 4.33 40 and a 38.5 vertical jump, his athleticism score was something to see for sure, Matt. And it shows up when you watch Brian Thomas on film in his time at LSU.
It really does. I'm excited about Brian Thomas Jr. It's almost like you can't overthrow this guy. Like the way he moves downfield so quickly, combined with his length and that massive catch radius, paired with the deep speed acceleration, the ball tracking, like just to see him just fingertip grab those balls right out in front of him and take it the rest of the way to a touchdown is just really impressive, especially when playing alongside someone as productive as Malik Nabers. He's got reliable hands, a 75% catch rate. That stop-start ability. I do think he has a little bit of a limited route tree, but that stop-start ability that he has shows that he'd be successful curls and comebacks as well. I mean, there's a lot to like here, Dan, but whether we're talking about body control and high point skill, there's a lot to like with Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, the thing I like the most, or most people are going to like the most, is that ball tracking and that deep speed to, like you said, catch up to an overthrown ball. That's exciting stuff, but he's really electrifying around the line of scrimmage as well. He can be a weapon on those bubble screens and quick hitters, able to use varied get offs at the line of scrimmage also to create separation on the quick slant. Those kind of things make him more than just a one trick pony at the next level. And I think an NFL coaching staff will see him as a projectable wide receiver one, a guy that can play all over the formation and it can be a weapon all over the field. So with that in mind, Ryan, you see him in mocks going as high as like fringe top 10 and a guy that many NFL projectors see as a big time talent and a guy that a team's going to invest highly in. When you look at Brian Thomas and the kind of draft capital he's going to get, how's that going to translate to dynasty rookie drafts?
Thomas is kind of an interesting guy. It seems like he's locked into his draft position, whether you talk about the NFL draft or fantasy and dynasty. He's going to be the wide receiver four. PFF, mock draft database have him as the wide receiver four behind the clear big three guys, and that's where he is in our ADP as well, both single quarterback and super flex. He's the wide receiver four. In single quarterback rookie drafts, he is at five overall. So we're talking about four of the top five guys being wideouts. You know, Thomas, I think back to the combine, I did get to listen a little bit to his interview and obviously saw what he did on the field. I think what was most interesting and kind of jumped out to me was during Malik Nabers' interview. There was someone who asked him about Brian Thomas and his development this season. And he called Thomas a freak of nature, which is good to hear. But then he said, Malik Nabers said, I know a lot of people say he doesn't like football, but he loves football. And that kind of jumped out to me. Like I hadn't heard that he didn't love football, but it's going to stick in the back of my mind now. And Thomas was a school basketball player, a high level basketball player. And of course we've heard this story before that, you know, basketball's the first love. And I mean, that's far from a deal breaker. We heard the same thing with Drake London a couple years ago, that him professing his love for basketball, even at a football. But again, just something that kind of stuck in my mind a little bit.
With that all in mind, though, you know, you do see him all over the board in the first round, as low as like into the 20s, late 20s, even sometimes in mock drafts, but you also see him flirting with the top 10, and I could see him landing almost anywhere. The talent at wide receiver in this draft class is just through the roof. What I love about Thomas is that, or what I see happening for Thomas is a team seeing him as as a almost a diamond in the rough, even though he was playing behind Neighbors and he showed that that upside and all those things. I could see teams thinking he's a better prospect or has even higher upside than Malik Neighbors. And if a team falls in love with him like that, I could see him going in the top 10 and getting even better draft capital than we expect. Matt, when I watched him, and I spent a lot of time on Brian Thomas because I wasn't sure how excited to be. The only thing that jumped off to me as potential negatives is he's not as explosive after the catch as he is at the line of scrimmage, which is always kind of a drawback for me. You usually like to see him like hit a fifth gear and all of a sudden pull away from people. You don't see that much of that. And then he drops the ball from time to time, which is actually kind of common with these, even these elite college players.
Yeah, I've got a couple of negative notes as well. I think what I wrote was he's slow to transition from a run to a runner after he catches the ball, which I think does impact exactly that yak ability. And what that's I think that's the thing that separates him really from Neighbors and, like you can say, Marvin Harrison Jr. as well. It's like he needs space between him and the next defender if he's going to make something happen after the catch. And he's just not that instinctive as a runner. And then you do see, you know, he's not the most nuanced route runner. He rounds off a lot of routes, especially on those breaking routes when, you know, he struggles to create that instant separation sometimes. And then, like you mentioned, those focus drops. But I feel like the route running could develop. I think he has the ability to do it if he's asked to do those kinds of things. But he's just so good on those vertical routes. And those post routes that, like, you know, sometimes he hasn't needed to add that repertoire to his skill set. But hopefully that improves at the next level.
Probably could see him being a value in the mid to late first round in super flex drafts. We could see him slide down just a little bit into that 8 range, 9 range. And that feels like a good spot to get Brian Thomas Jr. Let's move on to the next rookie on the list, and it's Clemson running back Will Shipley, currently 29th overall in our consensus rankings at RB8, Matt. When you see Shipley, and we all seen him at the combine, really blaze that 40-yard dash and look like a player that might be kind of explosive at the next level, how do you see Shipley translating to the next level?
You know, I usually love these pass catching backs, but I did not love Shipley. Like he seems like he's okay at everything and a very good pass catcher, but a lot of, you know, he really does get in there and try to be physical, but he just doesn't have the power to move the pile. You see a player at his size really running a lot between the tackles when he's not out catching passes. And he's just not that powerful for what he's trying to do, you know? So, I don't know. I don't know if he's good enough to really have kind of a feature role at the NFL level. I think we're looking at like a best case scenario, you know, like a higher volume kind of change of pace back that's going to get in there on third down and maybe some catch some passes that way. But I don't really see him being really getting any kind of volume in the running game at the NFL level.
Okay. I think I said combine. I meant to say his pro day, which was earlier this week. It was a 4.39. It was sub 4.4, 4.38, 4.39. But you see a lot of projections now that he's going to be maybe even a late day two pick, could slide into round three. I don't really see that happening, Ryan. No. He's a pass catcher. He's a guy that is going to be a change of pace back at the next level, most likely. Also, made some plays as a returner in college. I see an NFL team liking his skill set and maybe investing even a fourth round pick in him. Does that translate to dynasty? Is that going to make him more than a third round pick in your dynasty rookie drafts?
I mean, I guess if he sneaks into day two, that would certainly give him that boost, but I don't see that happening. He, looking at his ADP currently, 33 overall in single quarterback, 36 overall in super flex. He comes in as the RB10 in both of those data sets. PFF also has him ranked as the RB10 and 133 overall. So I think we're talking about an early day three pick here. Again, going back to the combine, he turned a lot of heads. He was asked about his ability as an all-purpose back, and he said, "I am the best all-purpose back in this class, and there's no doubt about it." And then he called himself a three down back. And I think I was kind of on board with the all purpose back. I could at least make a case, but to look at himself as the three down back. And I mean, he came in, I think at 5'11", just over 200 pounds, just looks so slight, you know, standing in front of him in person. And it's just hard to see him certainly as an every down back.
He doesn't look like a running back when he runs. Like, I mean, I know that's very subjective and all that, but I mean, I think film watching to some degree is anyway. I don't know what it is, Dan, but there's something in the back of my head that's just like, he's not gonna get any volume as a runner at the NFL, I don't think.
Well, I like the way he sets up blocks and presses the line of scrimmage before cutting back. There are things to like about him as a runner. He also forces more missed tackles than you'd expect from a guy of his stature, which usually is a good sign for that transition to the NFL. But I agree with you. He doesn't seem like the kind of tailback you want to turn and hand it to 18 times a game. He's more of that change of pace player and a guy that you get the ball in the passing game just a little bit. I'm a little surprised, Matt, and you mentioned it. Usually these players, you can see the path to PPR glory. And I agree with you. It's going to take the right team falling in love with him and making him a big part of their offense for him to become anything more than a third round flyer in your dynasty rookie draft and a guy that you're just hoping on.
I'd rather take Dylan Laube or Lob, however you say his last name, over him. I know we haven't talked about him yet on the show, but like, he's a better pass catcher. He does what Will Shipley does, but better, I think.
Sure. The last rookie we need to talk about here is J.J. McCarthy of Michigan, currently 30th overall in single quarterback. That's quarterback 4 in Superflex, though, all the way up there at 11 overall. So a first-round pick. Speaking of 11 overall, that's that draft pick that the Vikings hold. They're having a private workout with J.J. McCarthy next week, and there's a lot of smoke when it comes to the Vikings and McCarthy. Maybe there's fire there as well. They traded up in the draft to acquire a second first round pick. And, you know, it really feels to me, Ryan, at this point, that if you're going to get JJ McCarthy, you're going to have to do it in the top 10, because there's teams looking for that next quarterback after those top three are off the board early.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be the last move Minnesota pulls off. You know, we saw, I believe it was San Francisco do this for in what eventually became the Trey Lance pick. So yeah, I think we'll see another Minnesota trade to get you know, possibly into that top five to draft JJ McCarthy. Seems to be what all signs are pointing to, and obviously they have a need there. We talked about Sam Darnold earlier. He's a bridge at best. And I mean, I've got some concerns about JJ McCarthy as a top five NFL draft pick. But you know, if this is how Minnesota wants to go, we'll see how it works for him.
Well, I have concerns with JJ McCarthy being a top 12 dynasty superflex draft pick as well. That seems like a lot. I spent a lot of time on McCarthy, and Matt, the three of us have a group chat that you mentioned you don't get it when it comes to JJ McCarthy. And I wanted to respond then, but you know, usually I guide these conversations and I wanted to talk first about McCarthy. So I didn't say it then. I'm going to say it now. His arm strength is not NFL caliber. He's not.
It's not.
He can't throw. Can he throw a 18 or 20 yard out route? I don't think he can. It's going to take forever to get there. And, you know, people talk about him being on the move and a guy who moved around in that backfield at Michigan and made plays on the run. And he did that. I've seen it over and over again, but he never threw a ball that made me think that's an NFL throw. And that's when you're not talking about a truly elite athlete, those are things you usually need. And I'm going to go, you know, I know a lot of dynasty managers will point to a guy like Brock Purdy and say, Purdy didn't have elite arm strength coming out of Iowa State. Well, we were also talking about him as an undrafted free agent, potentially. We're talking about McCarthy as being face of the franchise type draft pick. And a player that we're going to invest a first round a super flex pick, rookie pick in? No way. You know, I don't even know if I want to pick him at 22 overall in a super flex draft. I'm not in on JJ McCarthy at all. I'm going to let somebody else deal with that draft pick.
I've got two sentences of positives and about three paragraphs of negatives. If that tells you how I feel about him. The positive, I mean, you see it. He's very tough in the pocket. He throws through contact. He does complete passes as he's being hit. And he's aggressive over the middle in those tight windows. But like that's a lot of that is his overconfidence, I think, in that arm talent, like you mentioned, Dan. Like my biggest problem, I have two really big problems with him. Number one is his inaccuracy. And number two is his inability to read the defense. Those two things are, and when you put them together, lead to, I mean, just disaster, I think. Against Alabama and Ohio State particularly, you see him really struggle to read the deep areas of the field. You see him lock onto those first and second reads and not even notice that the dump off option out in the flat is wide open with room to run. In the national title game, I forget which receiver it was, but he had the cornerback sold on the vertical route, and he breaks it off into an inside post, and there's at least 10 yards of separation between him and the safety. And McCarthy doesn't even see it and instead takes a sack. And like that play could have been a touchdown. And instead it was a sack, you know. I know they won the game. It didn't really matter in the end, but one other key stat I wanted to mention here, 66th in FBS on third down pass attempts, which is in the bottom half. So like, does that mean they don't trust him to make a throw on third down? Is that just the design of the offense? Like I saw several times where it was like third and seven, and then he would take off and run the ball up the middle, and, you know, wouldn't get the first down. They get it on fourth down with a short run or something like that. But I question whether they trust his arm on and those key third down situations, which he's going to see a lot of at the NFL level.
Ryan, we talked about the draft landing spot in the NFL draft. We've mentioned where he's going in rookie drafts right now, where we expect him to go. How do you feel about McCarthy and his dynasty value going into draft season?
Well, we've got some new ADP. He even startup ADPs, the quarterback 25 now, that's actually single quarterback ADP. But he's pretty far down the list here overall. And I think that, you know, part of that is just being a rookie quarterback, obviously, and the uncertainty that always comes with that. But I mean, we trashed Bryce Young earlier. I'd rather have Bryce Young easily.
I'd rather have
JJ McCarthy.
Yeah.
Justin Fields, or McCarthy. Who do you want?
Well,
pick one.
That's brutal. I guess I'll take McCarthy because there's the unknown. That says a lot about how I feel about Fields.
Well, McCarthy's going to be a starter, Will Levis, right? He's going to get a chance.
Will Levis or JJ McCarthy?
McCarthy.
I mean, McCarthy's going to be a top 10 pick. And, you know, there's the Vikings are now the betting favorite to land him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, do I want Justin Jefferson's quarterback or Levis? I'll take McCarthy.
Is this like the Christian Ponder pick from that, whatever year, 20, what was that, 2013, I think, maybe with EJ Manuel, something like that. Anyway, this feels like that. Take a quarterback in the middle of the first, and that's what you're going to get.
I think there's a chance another team wants to get ahead of the Vikings.
Denver has been rumored for him, you know.
Are you drafting JJ McCarthy at the end of the first round in a super flex, man?
I mean, you're supposed to, right? That's what the book says. If there's a first round quarterback available, that there you take them. But I guess it depends on who else is going to be there. If it's Brian Thomas, they're sitting there staring at me. No way. Who else could be there? If it was one of the top running back, Trey Benson or Jonathan Brooks, I'm probably taking one of the running backs. I'm probably taking one of them. If Xavier Worthy there is, I'm probably taking him. Who else could be there?
Well, I mean, here's where we stand right now. JJ McCarthy is 7 overall in Superflex ADP. He's ahead of Bowers, Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, Troy Franklin, Ladd McConkey. That's the rest of the first round.
I'd probably take him over McConkey, but those other guys, I'm taking the skill position.
He's ahead of every
round. Rather wait. You can get Bo Nix in this late second round. I'd rather wait.
I think I'd rather have Bo Nix straight up, and I can get him almost a round later, right?
Yep, that's where we're at with McCarthy. So no McCarthy love on the DLF Dynasty podcast. We'll try to find out here we really love next week. For Ryan and Matt, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening to this episode of the DLF Dynasty podcast. We'll catch you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the DLF Dynasty podcast. Please remember to rate and review and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.